truth seekers. So I'm watching the news tonight and find out there's a new drug epidemic in the United States. Remember Mother's Little Helper from the, was it the 60s? It was Valium, wasn't it? You know what it is now? Adderall. The ADD drug, Adderall. Oh my God. Adderall. I didn't know anything about that drug until, I don't know, somebody told me about Adderall. I think it was an article I was reading about college students who use it around exam time. That and what's the other one for ADHD? No, the other one, the real popular one. Ritalin, yeah. And the article said that, you know, some college kids are needing to, around exam time, needing to study, they'll start pumping in the Ritalin and the Adderall. God. America is on the pill. America is a pill. This hour is being sponsored by David Hatfield. And his message is my birthday. Happy birthday, David. And I'm 60. Made it twice as long as I thought I would. Anyway, I thought, what better gift could I give myself than to help Mike and company stay on the air? So, as I said the last time I did this, keep up the good work, Mike. And thanks for what you do from an old, retired, and rehabilitated military man who thought he was a Republican, only to discover that he's really a socialist at heart. Well, bless your heart, David. Thank you very much. I appreciate the sponsorship, and I always like to hear about conversions on the road to Damascus. You know, it always impresses me. It really does. You know, I'm not being a smartass here. I mean, it just does when people make that change. I've gone through some changes. I was never a conservative, never Republican, none of that. But I used to be a Democrat, and to finally come out from under that dark cloud. Whew. Thanks, David. Weird stuff around the, you know, the whole political sphere, but especially around Obama. Remember what the turtle said, Mitch McConnell. I'm going to make sure of him. Our one goal is to make sure that President Obama is a one-term. You know, they were going to make Obama a one-term president no matter what. If it meant destroying the country, if it meant destroying everything, if it meant death, if it meant bloodletting, if it meant group hangings, if it meant mass suicides, anything to get the black guy out of the White House. Now, since Republicans are brain dead and have absolutely no agenda that makes any sense, politically speaking or anyway speaking, for America, except to do what their masters beat their asses to make them do. That would be corporatist America. Since they have nothing, they had to invent all kinds of stuff about Obama. Oh my God, the list! Have you ever seen anything like this? Well, now there's a new thing to add to the list from this crazy son of a bitch, John Kyle, a Republican dickhead from Arizona. Another one. What's with you people in Arizona? Is everybody out there from your governor on up and down dickheads? What's the matter with you people? Oh, I can say dickhead. I'm referring to Richard. A Richard had been. Come on, Kathy. So now John Kyle has suggested impeaching Obama over his administration's recent decisions on immigration. This is a guy, Obama, who has thrown more people out of the country than Bush ever dreamed about. This is a guy who has caused more people to be arrested than Karl Rove could ever have masturbatory fantasies about. But now Kyle is saying on an appearance on this freakish Bill Bennett, this addicted, this gambling addict. Bill Bennett used to be the drug czar. Well, I know all about drug addiction. I'm a gambling addict. I gamble away my whole goddamn life. My kids' college, my wife's inheritance. I gambled it all away. That's Bill Bennett. But was he Reagan's drug czar? Anyway, he was on Bill Bennett's show today. Senator John Kyle. And he was responding to a question about the Department of Homeland Security's decision to pull back on a program known as, this is what Bennett said, a program known as, what the hell is this, 287Q? Which allows the feds to deputize local officials to make immigration-based arrests. This is what some of the Supreme Court hearing, a Supreme Court decision that was handed down yesterday was all about. Kyle said the president must be held accountable for a decision by the Supreme Court. These sons of bitches are like rabid rats. And yes, he's a dickhead. He's a rabid rat, this Kyle. Bennett says, well, how do you make the feds cooperate with state immigration efforts? Kyle, well, that's the executive's job. And there are only a couple ways to do it. If the president insists on continuing to ignore parts of the law that he doesn't like and is simply not enforce that law, the primary remedy for that is political. And you have it two ways. One is oversight through the Congress to demonstrate what they're doing wrong, and there are some potential criminal charges there for dereliction of duty. Dereliction of duty? You half-ass! You jackass! Where is that in the Constitution? But every night he goes on. Well, I haven't looked that up yet. You haven't looked it up yet. And the other part of it is people need to react through the ballot box to turn out of office those who are not doing their duty. Now, if it's bad enough, and if the shenanigans involve... Shenanigans? Shenanigans? That's an impeachable... Well, I guess it is. Look at Bill Clinton and Monica. If the shenanigans involved in it, then, of course, impeachment is always a possibility. But I don't think at this point anybody's talking about that. Except you, you dickhead. So what Kyle is saying is if the president insists on continuing to ignore parts of the law that he doesn't like. Kyle, were you drunk yesterday when the Supreme Court decision, Monday when the Supreme Court decision was handed down that invalidated those parts of the law that you're getting all slobbery about? Oh, man, why am I getting upset about this jerk? But it never stops. See, they don't go after Obama on real-world stuff that he's either done or not done. They make stuff up! Did you know he was born in Kenya? Huh? They make stuff up! Did you know he's a Muslim? No, he's a Jew. No, he's a Muslim. No, actually, he's a Hindu. They make stuff up! Because Republicans are scum, conservatives are scum, right-wingers are filth, and anyone who votes for any of them is a combination of all three. Hang your heads in shame. So many areas that Obama can be challenged on. But who's going to challenge him? Oh, I don't know. A few leftist radicals, I guess. Everybody else is just going to, on the Democrats, they're just going to say, well, let's get him reelected. The Republicans, they're like rabid rats. Every single one of them. Once was the people's race.
Cowboy told us, oh, soon just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Now, back during the hearings on the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act before the Supreme Court, the arguments, I should say, I, along with about 30 other radio people, were invited to a radio forum sponsored by Families USA, I believe was our sponsor. And you remember that. I broadcast a couple of programs from there. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is this. The Supreme Court building at the time was supposed to be encircled by these crazy right-wing Christians. There is a Nazi group in this country called Liberty Council. And two of their organizers or members, someone called Matt Staver and another one called Matt Barber, said at the time that if the Supreme Court did not overturn the law, it would, quote, set an incredibly bad precedent that allows huge power grabs, not just in this medical insurance issue, but in every place else, end quote. God, these guys are perceptive, aren't they? They're just geniuses, these right-wing Christian thugs. Aren't they? Jesus would be so proud of them. Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice. American Center for Law and Justice sent emails out to the bobbleheads in his organization saying that the Affordable Care Act is, his word, an atrocity. He said in the email, Obamacare oral arguments are being heard before the Supreme Court. Roe v. Wade made it a right to end the life of an unborn child. Obamacare forces every taxpayer to help pay to end the life of an unborn child. See, this is what I'm talking about. These lying sons of bitches. Jesus, why don't you come down, pinch these bastards' heads off, and kick them into hell so that Andy has something to play with down there? There is nothing in the Affordable Care Act about abortion. Sekulow went on to say, about a month ago, as we have said since the beginning, Obamacare uses taxpayer dollars to dramatically grow the abortion business. Listen to the terminology. To grow the abortion business. Now, we know that President Obama is also forcing citizens to directly pay an abortion surcharge with health insurance plans. Forcing us to pay for abortion is not only a moral outrage, it is a violation of our constitutional rights. Well, in the first place, Roe v. Wade was about a woman's privacy, you dumb bastard. But even though the privacy was around the abortion issue, how is it a violation of anyone's constitutional rights when the Supreme Court ruled that a woman does have a right to privacy? Take your nose and stick it where the sun don't shine, Jay Sekulow. Get it out of an obstetrician's office. It's none of your business what goes on in there, unless all of a sudden you develop ovaries, you half-witted jerk. But these are Christians. Reverend Patrick Mahoney, director of the Christian Defense Coalition. Christian Defense Coalition. Here come the lions! And one of the organizers of Encircle the Court in Prayer said, quote, we are calling people from all America to come to Supreme Court and encircle it with prayer as we cry out to God for justice, human rights, and religious freedom. Sadly, the president's health care legislation crushes religious freedom and liberty with unjust mandates on faith institutions and forces taxpayers to subsidize abortions. We will be praying that the president's health care legislation be declared unconstitutional. When Roe v. Wade was decided, the Christian community was detached and uninvolved. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're detached and uninvolved, all right. You don't have a clue what your religion is about, you filthy swine. So anyway, there are prayer groups operating tonight, fervently praying. And it's only Tuesday night. Fervently praying. Amen. Beseeching God to intervene, to show up in the Supreme Court building and say, Sammy the Fish, overturn it. Clarence, wake up. Uncle Clarence, overturn it. John Roberts, overturn it. And my boy here, my boy, Fat Tony Scalito, hey man, listen. I have a place for you in heaven, man. Woo! You're going to be bunking with a bunch of horny priests. Yes, you are when you come to heaven. Why do I talk like this? You didn't know? I'm from Ecuador, you jerk.
Is that nauseating stream of words really dripping from your tongue? Night. Can I introduce a catheter to siphon up your life? Come on, radio, I love you.
Malone.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by David Hatfield, and it's his birthday. He's 60. He writes, I made it twice as long as I thought I would. Anyway, I thought, what better gift could I give myself than to help Mike and company stay on the air? So as I said the last time I did this, keep up the good work, Mike, and thanks for what you do from an old, retired, and rehabilitated military man who thought he was a Republican, only to discover that he's really a socialist at heart. Well, good on you, David. Thanks for the sponsorship. Happy birthday. And it's really fun to get your mind back, isn't it? I know it was for me. Kim, who is our Upper East Side of Manhattan correspondent, sent me an email during the break. Hi, Mike. Your mention of the Liberty Council, you know, the ones that are doing the praying to the Supreme Court to defeat. Oh, can you imagine? Let's pretend. Can you imagine God is sitting in paradise, right? And all of a sudden he gets this little psychic tap, 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 tap. And he tunes in the proper channel, you know, to see what the hell is going on this little spot of dreck called Earth. And he listens and he looks down and he says, what? And he calls some of his angels over. Come here, you're not going to believe this. And they all gather around. Well, what's happening, God? What is it? Man, I'm just having a drink. Wait a second. Here, come here. I have to go to my tennis game. Come here. No, come over here, boys. Look here. Look on the screen. Oh, my God. What are those? Those are Christians. What the hell's a Christian? Hard to explain. But let me tell you what they're doing. What are they doing, God? They're praying. Praying. No. It's what they're praying for. What are they praying for? They're praying for good crops, healthy animals. What are they praying for? They're praying that some group of rats called the Supreme Court, they call themselves the Supreme Court, are deciding something about a health thing that puts lots of money in insurance companies' pockets. And they want me to intercede and wait a minute, let me see. Yeah, they want me to intercede. They're a bunch of Catholics on the Supreme Court. Oh, it's a Catholic God. No, not enough time to explain. All I can tell you is they're creatures that are really screwed up. God, can we switch the channel? Yeah, I'm about to. But first, you know, just for the hell of it, I'm thinking about throwing a thunderbolt right at these sons of bitches. Wouldn't that be fun? You want to, you know, you want to see a god drone at work? Oh, what's a drone? Oh, boy. You angels need to get out more. Okay, now watch this. Wow, God, that was cool. There's a big hole where those, what were they? Christians. A big hole where they were. Yeah, I know. It's a real knee slapper, isn't it? All right, everybody, go back to what you're doing. I just don't mean anything. Kim writes, your mention of the Liberty Council made me curious, so I took a look at their website. Do you know they have an Adopt a Liberal program? What a bunch of freaks. So I clicked the link. Introducing a powerful new prayer initiative that will soon have many thousands of participants. Liberty Council is proud to introduce and invite you to participate in a viable new prayer program solidly built upon St. Paul's admonition to pray for our national leaders. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, St. Paul said, therefore I exhort, well, he wasn't a saint then, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, including Adolf Hitler, I guess, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And then whoever wrote this goes on to say, since the landmark 2008 general election, there can be no doubt. Remember when Obama got elected? There can be no doubt that a very large percentage of our nation's leaders have a liberal mindset. The undeniable fact is that the 111th Pelosi-Reid Congress and the Obama administration demonstrate a far-left political philosophy. And since the president nominates federal judges and justices of the United States Supreme Court, the judicial branch of government could take on a decidedly more liberal bent as the Obama administration wears on. Wears on. That's cool. Wears on. Liberty Council has therefore named this special new prayer in action program, Adopt a Liberal. And that's exactly what we invite you to do. Adopt a liberal who is in authority for regular, intense prayer in accord with St. Paul's admonition to his disciple, Timothy. In fact, we expect that many of our friends and supporters will choose to adopt many liberals as subject of regular prayer. Here's how it works. Pick one or more of the liberals from the list we have posted online, or choose your own liberal to adopt. If you are led to choose one or more of the liberals we have selected for consideration, please read their brief biographical statement, including the reasons they stand in need of prayer. Amen. Pray earnestly and intensely for them. Pray that the Lord would move upon them and cause them to be the kind of leaders who will encourage others to lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. In other words, pray for them to sit the hell down and shut goddamn up. Well, that last part isn't in there. We encourage you to seek the Lord's guidance on how to pray for your liberals, always allowing him to temper your prayer with his love and mercy. Please pray daily for the liberal of your choice. And it goes on. Adopt a liberal. You arrogant bastards. You arrogant twits. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Oh my God. And what about this radio host, this piece of human dreck, Jan Nicholson? You heard about this thug, this punk, this wasted human being? Have you heard about this? He says that those Catholic nuns who have embarked on a nine-state bus tour, remember we talked about them, to protest the injustice of Paul Ryan's proposed budget, he says that they deserve to be beaten with a handgun. The nuns should be dragged off their bus and pistol whipped. Yeah, he said that to Representative Tom Latham, a Republican of Iowa. He said, the punk ass, Mickelson, said, quote, there's a bus full of nuns headed towards Washington to lobby against the Ryan plan. Do you have any power to pull the nuns on the bus over and pistol whip them? They say Paul Ryan's evil. They say he's a fake Catholic. Well, hell, they're the ones that threw the first punch. Wow. Stop a bus full of nuns and beat them up with guns. Now, Al Babe, the writer and artist formerly known as Al Gordon, sent this to me. And, I saw this, I thought, what? Beat up a bus full of nuns? He's got a Facebook account. It's / whore radio, W-H-O-R, W-H-O radio, W-H-O radio. And the website is whoradio.com, whoradio.com. Is that WHO in Des Moines? Isn't there a WHO in Des Moines? I think that's where it is. Des Moines, Iowa? WHO has a thug like this on suggesting that peaceful messengers of justice who happen to be Catholic nuns should be dragged off a bus and pistol whipped? You're kidding. Really? And I'm sure WHO will continue to have him on because I'm sure there are lots of people in Des Moines who just thought that was a real knee slapper. Oh, ha, ha, ha! Listen, did you hear what's his thug's name? Will you hear what Jan Mickelson said? They ought to beat the hell out of the nuns with guns. That almost rhymes. So, if you want to notify WHO Radio, you can do so. They have a website, whoradio.com. They have a Facebook page, WHO Radio. You know, facebook.com/WHO Radio. You might want to let WHO Radio know what you think of their little host, Jan Mickelson. Jan Mickelson. Let's drag them off a bus and beat them with guns. Sponsored by David Hatfield, who is celebrating a birthday today. He's 60 years old, and he figures he made it twice as long as he thought he would. Anyway, he says, what better gift could I give myself than to help Mike and company stay on the air? So as I said the last time I did this, keep up the good work, Mike, and thanks for what you do from an old, retired, and rehabilitated military man who thought he was a Republican, only to discover that he's really a socialist. Good for you, David. By the way, the Center for budget and policy priorities, a nonpartisan, found that nearly two-thirds of the cuts proposed in Ryan's budget would be, the axe would be taken to programs serving low-income Americans. Two-thirds. While his tax cuts largely will benefit the ultra-wealthy. So the nuns who are on this nine-state bus tour to protest this, doing what they feel their savior told them to do. And then this dollop of spit named, what's his name? Mickelson, Jan Mickelson on WHO radio says that the nuns should be dragged off their bus and beaten with guns. I'll tell you, I don't know why I talk about this stuff, because Republicans, conservatives on radio, every single one of them is an illiterate son of a bitch who only targets people who cannot defend themselves. This is what a coward does. Every single conservative talk show host at bottom is a filthy coward. We all know this. They are big, I don't care if it's a man or woman. They are big talkers, but if you confront them and face them down, you hear a squishy sound as they immediately wet their pants and just fall apart. Every single conservative, I don't care if it's a man or woman, I don't care if it's on internet only, I don't care if it's on radio, television, every conservative radio, television, internet host is at bottom a total coward and only ever picks on the poor or the defenseless. Well, except for fetuses. Fetuses they love. They like to spread them on a piece of bread and add a little jam and eat them. They love them so much. Well, Mickelson, you're a punk of the highest order. Just a punk. Suzanne in L.A. Sent me this. The Supreme Court justices are the rats of the GOP. I looked at this. Rats? What do you mean, rats? Of course they're rats. Oh, I see. The R stands for Roberts, the A for Alito, the T for Thomas, the S for Scalia. Rats. Yep. Regarding what we were talking about, Washington State and fracking last night, email from Dwight. Environmentalists such as the Sierra Club have, in Washington State, have succeeded in getting our coal-burning power plant to stop burning coal. The problem is the substitute for now is natural gas. Not much natural gas is drilled in Washington State, but it is imported from Wyoming and Northeast British Columbia, both of which extensively use the injected poison technique called fracking. Also note that given all the methane venting and refining waste, besides the injected poison, natural gas is a worse greenhouse hazard than coal or oil, according to sources I read. I was listening on the way home tonight and thought I would throw this into the hopper. By the way, thanks for all the therapeutic group therapy venting you enable. Dwight and his last name. Regarding energy from Think Progress, experts are predicting average gas prices may fall below $3 this fall, after dropping 14 cents in 2 weeks. When prices hit a record high, Republicans laid it all off on President Obama, even though there's no evidence that factors like drilling impact what consumers pay. And besides, Obama has issued more permits now, I think, than Bush did. But I digress. 2 months ago, Republicans said Obama should get all the blame for rising gas costs, and that only he had the what they called the key to lower gas prices. Obama, or Mitt Romney, said in March of this year, he gets full credit or blame for what's happening in this country and what's happened to gasoline prices under his watch and what's happened to our schools and what's happened to our military forces. All these things are his responsibility while he's president. John Boehner said in April,
the president holds the key to addressing the pain Ohioans are feeling at the gas pump and moving our nation away from its reliance on foreign energy. My question for the president is, what are you doing about it?
And then the same day, he said,
the president's own policies today have made matters worse and driven up gas prices. Where's my goddamn corkscrew? Where's the Jew? Hey, Eric, bring me my corkscrew! And no more of that Mogan David crap!
Mitch McConnell, in February this year,
the president will go to anything,
I can't do him tonight, will go to any length to drive up gas prices and pave the way for his ideological agenda. And John Barrasso, I love his name, John Barrasso, a Republican in Wyoming, said,
Obama is fully responsible for what the American public is paying for gasoline.
So now that prices are falling like a rock, are they all lining up to give Obama credit? Being sponsored by Mark Newville. Thank you, Mark. No message, just sponsorship. Thank you, Mark. Regarding the gasoline, don't you get tired of that discussion when we all know that the market is being manipulated? But Bruce Enberg writes in regarding gas prices, there's only one thing that determines gas prices, how much gas there is. The supply depends on whether they can convince enough people to buy it or if they can get rid of it by exporting it. They don't make gasoline. It's a waste product from oil refining. Every barrel of sweet crude is 43 to 51% gasoline. Sell it or burn it. Bush gave a huge tax credit to anybody who could file as a business, any rich guy, for buying a truck or SUV over 8,000 pounds. Can you say 8 miles per gallon? The fad spread to soccer moms. Yeah, remember that? Remember the Humvees, the Hummers? Obama had cash for clunkers and got rid of vehicles in that class, as well as increasing fleet mileage for new cars. We are swimming in gasoline. It's now our biggest manufacturing export. Fully 30% of refined petroleum is now exported. Obama, rook to king seven, and takes gas station. Checkmate. Okay. And speaking of Prairie 2, let's drop in his missive. How are the Mandarin lessons coming? Retail home prices are up. Building starts are up. New building permits are higher than in 2008. This is all good news in the segment of the economy that has been holding back the recovery. The only problem with this is that a quarter of the new home sales have been from foreign buyers snapping up choice properties. They see these selling for a fraction of what similar investments cost back home. Still, there's money changing hands, and this is a good thing. Why do foreigners have money to spend and Americans don't? It could have something to do with the top 1% in this country capturing all of the income growth since 1980. They saw growth in the hundreds of percentages. And the rest of us have actually declined. For a big chunk of America, it has been an actual descent into poverty. Prior to Ronald Reagan, we were the most upwardly mobile country in the world. After 30 years of doing things his way, we now rank at the bottom of the developed countries in class mobility. There are third world countries where a poor person has a better chance of getting ahead. In America, you can expect your kids will, as adults, be worse off than you are. Another factor in the influx of foreign cash is that there are trillions of U.S. dollars in circulation worldwide from all the outsourcing, and even more so from the tax dodging by so-called U.S. corporations. There is over $3 trillion in uninvested corporate cash overseas, plus who knows how much concealed by the rich Romneyans in their secret bank accounts. All of this money is subject to U.S. taxes, but past Republican presidents decriminalized this sort of tax evasion. Efforts by the IRS to tax Romneyans under Obama have produced little fruit, and they aren't even allowed to tax the corporate money as long as it remains stashed in foreign banks. This hot money produces real estate bubbles overseas, as the banks there need to put it into something, anything. So now it begins to trickle back into this country, buying up assets here. This is as close as trickle-down economics ever gets to actually working. This isn't new, of course. It's been going on for 40 years, but really took off under Reagan. Foreign interests own the bulk of U.S. mining assets, as well as entire so-called U.S. companies. China has been shy about investing in the U.S., but has shelled out for a major Texas oil field. Mostly, the Chi-Coms prefer to buy up copper mines and such in other countries. But they also build infrastructure projects and factories that benefit their trading partners. The Chinese are rapidly becoming as respected in the rest of the world as Americans think we are. Then again, their country is run by people who want to build China into a superpower, whereas we are ruled by a collection of Romneyan pirates and Daryl Issa-like mob arsonists who will burn it all down for a quick buck. So, we must either learn Alexander Hamilton progressive economics or Mandarin Chinese. Prairie2.com. Our economics affairs correspondent. As Think Progress reported yesterday, conservative neo-fascist, my word, Justice Antonin Scalia, Fat Tony, his dissenting opinion, claiming that Arizona's entire harsh immigration law should be upheld, sacrifices both factual and mathematical accuracy in order to attack one of the Obama administration's recently announced policies. Now, perhaps the oddest part of Scalia's dissent, however, is the fact that he actually relied on pro-slavery laws excluding free persons of African descent from much of the South to justify allowing Arizona to target undocumented immigrants. This is what he said.
Notwithstanding the myth of an era of unrestricted immigration in the first 100 years of the Republic, the states enacted numerous laws restricting the immigration of certain classes of aliens, including convicted criminals, indigents, persons with contagious diseases, and, in southern states, freed blacks. State laws not only provided for the removal of unwanted immigrants, but also imposed penalties on unlawfully present aliens and those who aided their immigration.
Progress reported, this kind of thinking, sadly, is common in Scalia's, in Fat Tony's opinions. He's defended torture. He finds little wrong with executing the innocent. When a majority of his colleagues reached the radical conclusion that people have a right to choose their own sex partners, Scalia railed against them for embracing the homosexual agenda. And during, you'll pardon the expression, oral arguments over the Affordable Care Act, Scalia seemed unable to distinguish legal arguments from partisan talking points. Nevertheless, looking to slaveholding states for guidance is beyond the pale, even for Scalia. From Think Progress. Fat Tony he either was going to become some sort of figure in American justice, or he was going to be a mafia don. Fat Tony could have gone either way. So he took his criminal attitude and his vicious, violent Catholicism onto the Supreme Court. Oh, and by the way, for the umpteenth time since Uncle Thomas was appointed by George Herbert Walker Bush to the Supreme Court as the best choice available in America, Uncle Clarence asked not a single question during the arguments regarding the Affordable Care Act. He never does. He sits there like a huge, miserable, scowling lump. And when the arguments are over, he goes to Fat Tony and says, "What do you want me to do?" Mike, regarding the caller the other night about the Alberta tar sands, there are a lot of people here. Oh, she's referring to the right winger who, tried to tell me everything was fine. That was last week. Anyway, she writes, there are a lot of people here in Alberta that have been sold a bill of goods in the way of propaganda, advertising, and so on about how wonderful the tar sands are. They don't call this Texas North for nothing. Big oil, big gas, cattle. This is also a God's guns and Bible sort of place, the most Americanized province in Canada, quite different from all the others. The mentality here is changing slowly as people from other provinces migrate here because of the work opportunities. They are more liberal in their outlook, and this has made a great deal of difference here. Still, there remains a hardcore base of very right-wing conservatives. They believe there is a conspiracy to keep Canadian oil out of the United States, and that people are deliberately speaking ill of the tar sands. There are none so blind as those who will not see. Roz. Yeah, really. Conspiracy. The only conspiracies are the ones engineered by the national security state, the military, industrial, corporatist, capitalist murderers. From Michael in Roswell, same night, he wrote, the tar sands are a much bigger problem than this yokel is asserting, referring to that right winger again. First, the project is using up huge amounts of water because they're using steam to melt the tar so it can be extracted from the sand. The processed water is very toxic and is being forced down injection wells. Then there's the energy usage. The water is being heated by natural gas to make steam. So the actual carbon dioxide load is higher than just burning the tar sand refined products. There have been estimates that the energy cost to produce the fuel is higher than the energy content of the refined fuel. It's just an immensely stupid way to produce energy. Michael in Roswell. And, oh, by the way, after this next break, we're going to open up the phone lines if you want to join us. 877-996-2556. I saw this the other day. Mosquitoes, ants, water bugs, ticks, bees, they're coming out all over the U.S. with a vengeance this summer, according to bug experts. City of New Orleans reporting elevated number of mosquitoes this year. Boy, you ought to see Atlanta. So are many cities in northeast Illinois, as well as St. Paul, Minnesota, where pest control workers have reported a 50% increase in the number of calls from people wanting to come out and kill the bugs. In the northeast, a mild winter and a mellow spring with warm and wet conditions has added up to the perfect storm, creating a flourishing bug population. One expert said if the summer is really hot and there's a lot of moisture like there has been the last month or so, the population of insects is going to be out of control. And there are certain species that entomologists and exterminators are looking out for, the Asian tiger mosquito for one. The very aggressive mosquito that bites during the day. Many types of bugs, the experts say, have arrived far ahead of schedule. One expert says the mosquitoes were out very early. Normally, you don't really find them until June, but we've got reports of mosquito problems as early as April, which is very early. One of the biggest concerns, of course, of having extra mosquitoes around is a possible increase in the numbers of West Nile virus cases. Blah, 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 blah. Weren't we warned about this? Remember? Do you remember, Truth Seeker? Sure you do. Last year, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 12, 15 years ago. Remember where those goofy-ass scientists were talking about? Well, listen, as global temperatures rise and climate change starts to kick in areas other than just temperature, you're going to see the migration of bugs, vermin, viruses, bacteria, all sorts of diseases. The vectors for these diseases will be buzzing around your punkin' little head, right? Nah, none of that's gonna happen. Not now, not ever. How stupid can a right-winger be when this kind of stuff is happening all around him or her, and they still say, no, there's no global warming. We'll be right back. That's from Hair, right? What was that? 67? 68? Wow. The fifth dimension. This hour is being sponsored by Mark Noville. Thanks, Mark. From Prairie 2 regarding the tar sands in Alberta. Bruce writes, they're burning upwards of twice the energy content of the tar sands oil in the form of natural gas to operate the tar sands operation. They can do this since the gas is super cheap because of the surplus of natural gas from the fracking operations. Makes money for the billionaires while adding significantly less than zero to the net energy production. All of this is going to export, of course, including a huge amount of sweet crude from the northern U.S. states that will be used to thin the tar sands oil so that it can be pumped through the pipeline. So not only is there no gain in domestic production, since it will all be exported, but it will also take with it a large amount of existing oil production. Do you see how we're being just absolutely brutalized by these capitalist pigs? Please wake up. Please, God damn, wake up. Can't you right-wingers just once pull your head out of your asses and look at what's being done to you? Never mind. What's the point? My God. Okay, 877-996-2556. We'll give it a second, then we're going to take your calls. Globalresearch.ca, that's based in Montreal. It's an online publication. Are you familiar with it? I found some stuff on Global Research in the past that I thought was very interesting. Some of it turned out to be a little bit loosey-goosey with the facts, but a lot of it turned out to be pretty much right on. Now there's this. Senior Israeli officials now confirm, now of course they're unnamed, I think. Yeah. Senior Israeli officials now confirm that Prime Minister Netanyahu has, quote, decided to attack Iran before the U.S. elections in November, end quote. Now, I always have a problem when quotes are put around a sentence or a phrase and there's no attribution whatsoever. So, like I say, take this with as many grains of salt as you want to. I mean, we understand that Netanyahu is a goddamn psychopath. There's no question about that. We also understand that it is not outside the realm of probability that Netanyahu and the Likudniks in Israel might launch such an attack on the probably safe and secure understanding that the U.S. will jump in and defend Israel from retaliation. But let me go on here. According to Global Research, Netanyahu's agenda is much broader than knocking out Iranian nuclear installations. His aim is to reshape the political landscape in the United States and Israel, shifting everything to the far, far right in order to create a new comfort zone for religious fundamentalists. I don't know what that sentence means, but okay. Netanyahu's major backer, Sheldon Adelson, is now firmly behind Mitt Romney, and they are known to believe that an Israeli attack on Iran in September or October will displace Obama and many dovish Democrats in Congress and establish a hawkish regime in Washington. What else does it say here? Israel and the United States are pushing forward with preparations to jointly strike Iran's nuclear facilities, the U.S. blog Business Insider reported on Saturday. The website said, quote, U.S. defense contracts, an Iranian F-16 acquisition, and Israel's new military preparations suggest that all sides are getting ready for whatever may come. F-16s. Where do they buy F-16s? Hello? Can I see some hands? Yeah, that's right. According to the blog, the U.S. Navy has recently signed a $338 million contract with defense contractor Raytheon to, quote, provide the Navy with 361 Tomahawk cruise missiles in their most recent configuration. According to the website, the U.S. is either renewing its stock of missiles or planning ahead. And the report at U.S., the blog Business Insider, the report went on. On May 9, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012, which seeks to, quote, reaffirm the commitment to Israel's security as a Jewish state, provide Israel with the military capabilities to defend itself by itself against any threats, and expand military and civilian cooperation. End quote. A senior Israeli official, unnamed, recently told Reuters that Netanyahu has decided to attack Iran before the U.S. elections in November. Now, that last quote and the quote about U.S.-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act is reported by Haaretz 2 days ago. Military experts have agreed, according to globalresearch.ca, military experts have long agreed that the, quote, sweet spot, end quote, for an Israeli attack on Iran will be this coming September or October, precisely because of the timing of the U.S. presidential election cycle. For maximum political impact and minimal diplomatic responsiveness, the time of the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 3 through 6, comes within this window of opportunity, as well as the days immediately prior to the U.S. election, say from Halloween till the 6th of November. Presidential election cycles have played major roles in the design of military timetables. For only one example, recall the Tet Offensive in early 1968 that drove LBJ out of the race for the White House. So, from globalresearch.ca, there you have it. Pretty strange, isn't it? Who we got here? Tom is in Irvine, California. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for giving us a forum to talk.
Sure.
My first question was, when Obama was sworn in, we really didn't know who he was foreign policy-wise until we got a chance to see how he performed. But, I mean, I remember you said something that struck a chord. You thought, JFK, a lot of conspiracy theorists thought that he was taken out because he bucked the military establishment with Vietnam, mm-hmm. and they wanted to close down the CIA, allegedly. And
right. And he wouldn't cooperate on Cuba.
Right. Because Lyndon Johnson really escalated Vietnam. But, you thought that Obama would put into a JFK-type situation if he closed down the imperial war machine. Do you still agree? Now that you've seen him perform, has your opinion changed?
I don't know what to think anymore. I think Obama is probably smarter than, with few exceptions, any president we've had in modern history. I'm talking about book learning, as they say in the South. I just think he's smart. I think he understands political science. I think he understands international relations. So as far as why he is conducting himself in some areas to a greater degree of criminality than George W. Bush, I have no idea, I can't figure it out. I don't know if this is just what presidents of the United States do, no matter what party they're from, no matter what they say during election process, that once they do get to that position of power, they have no choice, not that somebody is threatening them, but they have no choice but to continue aggressive U.S. foreign policy that is based on the national security state and the kind of wild flailing that is going on in order to try to secure what's left of non-renewable resources. And in order to do that, you've got to have an aggressive, threatening, violent foreign policy, or so the corporatists think. Now, the other side of that, of course, is the money, the profit, the capitalists that are behind this. So as far as Obama, you know, I don't know. I think he is culpable. I think he is impeachable right now, but not on this garbage like John Kyle says, but on... Before the hour, Tom and Irvine, sorry about that. I was talking, not paying attention to the clock, and bang, the commercial hit. Where were we?
Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead.
I forget what I was saying.
Just
about Obama. I've given up. It's too exhausting trying to figure out what his agenda is, trying to figure out why he's governing the way he is. It's not even center-right. It's, well, okay, I'll concede it's center-right because a lot of people, if I say he's governing from the right, I'll get a lot of arguments. So we'll call it center-right. but it's not, I don't think it's what the country needs right now. And that's not just me. I mean, I'm like a sponge. I read and get as much information as I can and then squeeze it out on these programs. So this is not... You know, very little of what you hear on this program is totally original thought. Now, I'm not saying that my own ideas don't come out. They do. But it's also influenced by people I read, like Krugman, for an example. When I see what Obama has done and continues to do regarding this economy, and I read Krugman every time he's in the New York Times and his own blog site, and what he says is just so damn sensible, and it seems like nobody is listening to him, not in this country, not in Europe. He has solutions to this economic meltdown that is going to get worse exponentially if somebody doesn't wake up to this austerity trip as being a damn lie. But nobody's listening to him. So,
you know, I saw a couple of quick little anecdotes about Obama's foreign policy. You know, Hugo Chavez, there's the video of Hugo Chavez walking up to Obama, handing him a copy of his book, and Obama shakes his hand like he's got leprosy or something.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is they're doing the Afghan policy review, and there's a little story about it, and Obama starts out the policy review with his advisors sitting around, and he's saying, well, I'm not doing 10 years as a starting point for negotiation. It's like he automatically gives away the whole house to start with,
right.
The whole left position. The Democratic Party insistence that these wars come to an end. But on that note, the last question I would have is, you know, I mean, the regime changes Hillary's forcing in Libya and Syria. I mean, are we supposed to view these as legal?
We're going to view them the way the American media presents them. I'm talking about the majority of people in this country. I think if you look beneath the surface, if you look at Middle Eastern press, if you understand the involvement of CIA, involvement of Mossad, involvement of MI5, in all of these cases, you come away with the conclusion that we live in bizarre world and like in a house of mirrors. I had lunch today with a friend of mine who is in his 70s. He's a PhD in engineering, and he is from, he's Palestinian, but he travels on a Lebanese passport, obviously, because there's no such thing as a Palestinian passport. He has deep ties in the Middle East. He has worked on engineering projects all over the Middle East over the course of his professional life. He's now retired, but we had lunch today, and I asked him about all this. He doesn't seem to be the least bit concerned about the election in Egypt. And this, by the way, he's a Palestinian Christian. He's not a Muslim. And as far as the new president of Egypt being a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood, as my friend pointed out to me, this new president has two of his children are American citizens. He got his PhD from USC, blah, blah, blah. But as far, you know, and I asked my friend, I said, but Assad is a murderer. He's killing his own people. And my friend said, how do you know that? And I said, well, I don't know anything, but I read what I read, that the Syrian Air Force is just gunning down people, the Syrian military. He said, and my friend, who's no big a supporter of Assad, he thinks the Ba'ath Party should remain in power. He's no big supporter of Assad. But he said, you know, you need to take a deeper look at what is going on there. Are there people being butchered? Yes. Why is this happening? You know, Americans, and he's an American citizen, he said Americans do not ask the question why. They may ask the question what? You know, like what's going on? Well, they're killing people in Syria. Oh, is that what's going on? But we don't ask the question why. So as far as Libya and Syria are concerned, I know that those situations are like all situations in the Middle East. They are not what they appear to be by the time they are filtered to the American news consumer.
Yeah, I have to disagree. I have to say, I think that Hillary's committing war crimes. I'm sorry, but thanks for your help.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
You do? Well, I mean,
I don't disagree with that to the extent that the U.S. government through Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State is involved. I don't disagree with you that war crimes are being committed. Barack Obama is committing human rights violations on a scale that is pretty much unprecedented. I mean, you know, arbitrary execution of American citizens from a hit list. Who in the hell has been doing that? Probably all of them, but Obama is public. No, I don't disagree with you, Tom, that Hillary Clinton may be involved in committing war crimes. Of course I don't disagree.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. Appreciate you checking in. Okay, now I'm just going to stop talking here so that I don't miss the next break. That's terribly embarrassing. There it is. This hour has been sponsored by Mark Neuville. Thank you, Mark. We'll be back after the break. The phone lines are open. If you want to chat, 877-996-2556. Or not. Seven past the hour. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. Just a couple of things here. If you're on hold, we're going to come to you in a very quick moment. Just a couple of updates. I just shared with you something from globalresearch.ca, which is based in Montreal, Quebec, but from Haaretz, that is based in Jerusalem, I believe, or is it Tel Aviv? It's the Israeli liberal newspaper. And what they are reporting is that Netanyahu is trying to persuade the cabinet in Israel to attack Iran. Now, this is from a few months ago, but that's what the whole purpose of the article at Global Research was, to kind of update Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman, who previously objected to attacking Iran back in, this is from November, was recently persuaded by Netanyahu and Ehud Barak, the defense minister, I believe, to support an attack. So just let me give you the lead from Haaretz. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Ehud Barak are trying to muster a majority in the cabinet in favor of military action against Iran, a senior Israeli official has said. According to the official, there is a, quote, small advantage, end quote, in the cabinet for the opponents of such an attack. The article in Haaretz goes on to say, although more than a million Israelis have had to seek shelter during a week of rockets raining down on the south. Remember, this is 7 months ago. Political leaders have diverted their attention to arguing over a possible war with Iran. Leading ministers were publicly dropping hints that Israel could attack Iran. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I share this with you, thanks to Reg, just as kind of a confirmation that such discussions are going on. Now, the fact that Global Research has put a time frame around all this, suggests to me some caution here in accepting that as real. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you broadcast? Do you publish 4 months in advance that you're going to attack a country? You know, not usually. I mean, not that they are broadcasting it or publishing it. The Global Research or whoever, it could be New York Times, could be Haaretz, wants people to believe that through their sources they have found out this horrific secret. So, you know, you take it with as many grains of salt as you feel that you need to take it with. Like I say, there is so much stuff, intrigue and murder and mayhem and deception and lies and deceit and houses of mirrors that goes on, that all go on in the Middle East. Who knows? From Captain Mary in Memphis, and then we're coming to your phone calls, who loves Portuguese music. She sends me some paraphrased excerpts from an article that was in Mother Jones regarding the Koch brothers and the environment. So here are some paraphrased excerpts. You may find this interesting. The evil billionaire Koch brothers fund media organizations and media figures that spout climate change denial. Glenn Beck even thanked Charles Koch on air for his anti-climate information. From 2005 to 2011, the Koch brothers spent $31 million on organizations that deny or downplay climate change. Some folks that attend the secretive twice-a-year Koch brother confabs, besides Beck and Limbaugh, are Philip Anschutz, owner of the Examiner newspapers and the Weekly Standard, for whom Charles Krauthammer, who was the signatory to the PNAC agreement, often writes. Stephen Moore, Wall Street Journal editorial board member. Ramesh Panuro, senior editor for the National Review. The now dead Andy Breitbart, Chris Horner and Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, another right-wing organization. Pat Michaels, senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Phil Kirpin of Americans for Prosperity and Jonathan Adler of the Federalist Society and more. And I don't know if you know it, but the Koch brothers, I believe, either are major funders or sit on the board of the Cato Institute or both, and they have been having a dispute with the chairman of that board, I think. I only saw recently a very quick take on what is going on. Cato Institute likes to bill itself as strictly nonpartisan libertarian think tank. But how do you do that when one of your major funders and board members is a Nazi piece of human waste like either of these Koch thugs? How do you do that? How do you maintain? And I think this is what the Cato Institute is trying to explain to the Kochs. We want you to sit down and shut up. You're making us, or at least the perception is, that we are partisan. We are trying to be partisan only insofar as libertarian philosophy goes. Oh, Jesus. Roger is in Hercules, California. Is that right, Roger?
Sure is, Mike.
Welcome to the program.
I've been a faithful listener for several years now.
Say it again?
I've been a faithful listener for several years now.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And I understand your anger. I feel it, too, about these SOBs that are trying to ruin the world for us. I think we're about at least halfway down the deep, dark pit called fascism, maybe three-quarters of the way down. That's the bad news.
Mm.
The good news is I love your bumper music. It's gotten even better. I'm hoping that someday you might, if not, say it out loud, the titles, and maybe put it on the website. And,
yeah, it's just that we're such a tiny organization here. There's just two of us.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of jointly select the music that we're going to be playing online, you know, on the web stream prior to the show.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I do get some emails from people that say, you know, who's the artist? And I'll answer back via Facebook or email or the chat room or whatever exactly who it is. But thanks for the compliment. We try to keep the music as eclectic as possible.
Yes, a great jazzer last week. It was real nice.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a certain brand of swing jazz I like kind of advanced swing.
Yeah, me too. Me
on
too.
The way to bebop.
Yes.
Other than that, but all I have to say is keep up the good work. We need it.
All right. Well, thanks, Roger. Thank you very much. And thanks for the compliments on the music. I do appreciate that. Take care. Take care, Roger. You know, one of the best sources for of buying CDs is Salvation Army or, you know, some of those stores that sell, you know, recycle stores. What do you call them? The thrift stores. Sorry. Yeah, you can get some wonderful deals on CDs in there. You know, 50 cents. Woo! You didn't know that? Oh, my goodness. Jim is in Las Vegas listening on Sirius. Hello, Jim.
How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oops. I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, Jim, hold on a second. I got to do a break here. Just hold on.
All right.
I will be right back and pick you up. Jim in Las Vegas. Sorry for that blast of sound, too, Jim. We have a couple little technical glitches here tonight, but no big deal. Now, where were we?
Okay, now I was talking about the tar sands in Canada and how they're basically equivalent to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that they're just creating more. I mean, the whole thing is just to get oil, which I think we could get anyway, but our invasion and occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan, we're not using magic carpets. We're using vehicles that use fuel, and we're going there to get the oil. And then to produce the oil from Canada, that's going to take more, and then that's just going to create, what I hear, 66% more pollution.
Mm-hmm. Well, the horror is, of course, that this whole scam, this whole death trip that this planet is on is being run, literally being run by maybe 1,000 people, not all of whom are Americans, but most of whom are. They are greedy, unconscionable capitalists. They don't care how much is destroyed. They live in some kind of a psychological time warp where they believe, I guess, either they believe their own nonsense that there's no such thing as global climate change, there's no such thing as this depletion of natural resources. They don't believe that we're in the middle of the beginnings of a mass extinction. They think, I guess, that somehow they'll be exempt. So the raping and the pillaging of the planet continues apace with nobody able to stop them.
Yeah, well, real quick, I just want to end with, this just reminds me of that great slogan out of 1984. What is it? War is peace.
Yeah.
Love is hate.
Yeah.
Ignorance is strength.
Yeah.
And they got it.
Yeah, they got it in spades. All right, thanks, Jim. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Eddie is in Garland, Texas. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, hanging in there, man.
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to agree with one of the other callers. Thanks for giving us a forum, as usual. And you alluded earlier about only conspiracy theories are from the war machine or the government, something like that.
Did I say that?
Something to that effect. You said you're pretty pissed off about the right wing and, you know, they're darn conspiracy theories about the...
Yeah, well, finding you know, somebody said it a long time ago, the first casualty of war is truth.
Right.
So as far as the lead-up to war, the conspiracy theories, the idea that, you know, we're to believe that X occurred, like, for example, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, and mm-hmm. that, therefore, Y must happen next, which is a full-scale invasion. And then, of course, Z occurs, where millions of people die. So, in that regard. But there are, obviously, there are other sorts of conspiracies that are put together by these devious bastards who then use the U.S. military to fulfill
right.
them.
Right. Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, I agree. I don't believe, you know, half of what they tell me on the news, none of what they tell me on the news, and half of what comes out of the government. But my question is, and I feel it's an important question for myself, you know, and because I respect what you do, you know, I want to get your take on it. You know, it's been a very informative program tonight, and I'm wondering, with the economic situation and all the wars going on, and as you describe it, you know, the raping and pillaging of the planet, I'm wondering, is it possible that the powers that be know something devastating is going to happen to humanity, and are they intentionally letting the financial system and just everything, you know, go to heck in a handbasket on purpose because they know something we as common men and women don't? And I just want to get your take on that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what that could be. Is there a huge asteroid heading
right.
for the Earth? If that's the case, what's the point in
fixing anything?
You know, yeah, or continuing to amass money of any kind.
Right. And don't get me wrong, sir. I didn't mean that the conspiracy theory thing. You know that. You know, I entertain all theories. I mean, I'm a young guy, and seeing what happened to John F. Kennedy, you know,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't alive when it happened,
mm-hmm.
but I've seen the Zapruder film a zillion times.
Right.
And I don't believe what they tell me.
Well, I don't either.
And then they call me a nut job for that.
Right.
Well, I mean, come on, man. My eyes see one thing, and you could take a handgun and shoot a watermelon, and, you know, you can pretty much tell what the hell's going on, what the heck's going on, you know. So
yeah.
I agree with what you said earlier. I can't quote you verbatim, but I'm just wondering, you know, maybe there's something going on, because
the only thing that would fit into that for me would be the fact that it's a population thing. Let me put it this way: there is we're approaching 8 billion on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
I find it astonishing because when I was a little kid growing up, there were barely 2.5 billion, and to think
wow.
to think that the population, and you know, I wasn't born in the 1700s. I mean, I was born, I grew up in the 1950s, for God's
right.
sake.
Right.
Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come back, Eddie, because I got to do a break here. I'll come back. But my theory is if there is some sort of weird conspiracy, it centers around the idea that some of these folks understand that there's going to be a major, I think the term is, die-off. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour. All right, back to Eddie in Garland, Texas. Regarding any kind of foreknowledge or conspiracy idea or whatever that is causing the 0.1% to just continue to steal and pillage as much as they can get their hands on, if there is such a thing, other than just their greed and their contempt for the rest of their own species and also their contempt for the planet, if there's anything else, I would think it could be the idea that the planet is reaching a point where, while it may be possible to sustain 8, 9, 10, 12 billion people,
right.
if the methods of food production and distribution were equally handled around the planet, and if the idea of responsible birth control and so on and so forth were applied, none of that is happening. So,
right.
From what I've read is the possibility of a so-called great die-off where the human population of this planet is reaching a critical point where it's going to be diminished greatly because of disease. I don't think there's going to be a war big enough to wipe out 4, 5, 6 billion people.
Right.
If that were to happen, the whole damn planet would be gone. So I don't know. That could be it. That's the only thing I can think of.
Could I ask you one final question,
sure.
and then I'll let somebody else call in?
Sure.
Since we're talking about this population control and, you know, what we don't know and what we know, vice versa and all that, do you know what the term eugenics is, I'm sure.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? What are your takes on that?
Well, that I'm not sure.
Can you do a program maybe one day?
I'm not sure what you mean by the question. Eugenics was
they control, like with our food, like with Monsanto and
you're talking about that.
Yeah, they put a little bug in the food and then they vaccines and stuff like that, and all these other.
You mean the genetically modified
things, right?
Food,
and,
yeah.
Because you hear so much. Well, we all hear so much from the right wing. I don't want to plug anybody else's name, but if you think a little bit, you can figure out who I'm talking about. They talk a lot about these items, and it's more right-leaning. And I just don't feel like I'm getting the proper information from that side, but I know it's out there. I know processed foods, BPAs, chemicals and stuff like that are bad. And it just ties into the whole population reduction, die-off thing that we're speaking of tonight. You know, and I'm wondering what your take on all this stuff is, because I know you know about it, and I know you...
Yeah, well, you know. I'll tell you what, I'll give it some attention, Eddie. Right. I'm not really, you know, equipped to go at it tonight.
So I want to live another 40 years, man, if I can.
I hear you. All right, pal,
Thanks, brother.
We'll talk soon.
Yep.
All right, take care. Yeah, there's just a wealth of information about that topic. They were talking about a little bit in the Malloy chat room, the live chat that's going on every night with this program, that you can join in if you're not a half-witted right-winger. But I repeat myself. Daniel is in Los Angeles listening on XM. Welcome to the program, Daniel.
Hey, how are you? Good evening.
Good.
I want to ask you a question. I'm not a long-time listener, but I just started.
Hey, listen, we can barely hear you. Is there any way you can talk more into the phone or get a little more volume on the phone? Are you there? Yeah, that's better. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So, thank you. I'm not a long-time listener, but I'm a new listener. I've been listening for a little while, and I'm doing your show, and I felt like I could ask you a question.
Sure.
So I'd like to ask you. I'm a little bit, I'm a Democrat, and I'm a little confused, and I need a little bit of help with this characterization, what I feel is a mischaracterization of the rich and the poor and what the Democratic Party's doing to say, you know, regarding increasing taxes and the rich need to pay more. My worry is that I feel like they're pitting this war against people that are their own people. I'm a Democrat, and I would fit into this category not because I'm rich, but because I'm a small business owner, and the way my business is structured puts my income higher, even though I don't take all the income. It's kind of an interesting situation, but these are challenges that business owners face, and I'm a middle-class American, and I just feel like they're attacking me, and I feel like maybe I'm missing something. So I'd like to ask you, what am I missing as to why is it right to say that the rich should pay more and characterize the rich at this?
Well, all right, let me try to answer you. The main reason is because the rich don't pay a damn thing now. Let me get something very, very clear for you, Daniel. In the first place, I've been a small business owner my entire working life, except for very short periods of time, working for CNN, working for Cox Communications, working for ABC. So, yeah, you know, when people talk about small businesses and so on and so forth, I am one. And certainly have been, and there was a brief stint with Air America too. But the point I'm trying to make, the rich in this country don't pay taxes, period. Wealthy people simply don't do it. Take Mitt Romney, please. Mitt Romney, what's his tax return he released 1 year or 2 years or whatever? It was 11%, 14%, which is really kind of immaterial. Nobody is talking about taxing the rich, to the extent that they're supposed to carry the burden. What we're talking about is having wealthy people pay their fair share instead of hiding everything and deceiving everybody and having offshore accounts and hiding this and hiding that. I'm a small business owner too, and I have enough sense to have, not that you don't have sense, but I'm just saying I have enough sense to have my small business structured in such a way that the gross income of this little small business is not my gross income. My small business pays me a living wage. It's barely a living wage, but that's because of what I'm doing on my own here. So nobody is asking for the wealthy to pay anything other than their fair share. And they have not done that. Tax laws have not been structured to benefit poor people. They've not been structured to benefit middle class people. Tax laws have been structured to benefit one class and one class only, the wealthy. And it's becoming even more so with the ultra wealthy. Now, the second part of this, or third or twelfth part of this, is the fact that the tax rate in the United States right now is the lowest it's ever been. historically speaking. I'm talking income tax. We have the lowest tax rate of any industrialized democracy on earth. We are a nation of crybaby whiners. We are a nation of toxic crybaby whiners. Oh, somebody's going to take my marbles. Ooh, I worked very hard to have 12 marbles. You didn't do a goddamn thing. You've got 4 marbles and now you want one of mine. That's not the issue. That's how, Daniel, the issue is being framed by the right wing in this country. So, you know, when somebody asked me about the, you know, is the solution found in taxing the rich? The quick answer is hell yes. And the reason is because they don't pay taxes. I don't know how else to put it. And that's not because I say they don't. Go to any nonpartisan organization who keeps track of this stuff and look at the history of the look. When Kennedy came into office after Eisenhower, what was the top marginal rate? What was it? 93%? 90%? 80%? So, and what's the top rate now with all the tax loopholes and the hiding and the deceiving and the deception and the lying and the cheating and the stealing and the stinking right wing garbage that goes out there to misinform people that, oh, we're so overtaxed. No, we're not. If anything, we are undertaxed. And as far as who is the most undertaxed, look at the top 5, 4, 3, 2% in this country. So here's the bottom line for you, Daniel. What I and people I think who are furious about this tax issue are requesting, asking for, or demanding, take your pick, is that people pay their fair share. We've had a graduated income tax in this country for a number of reasons. If you make more, you should contribute more. It's just that simple. And until that day comes around, this whole, you know, I've got mine to hell with you kind of attitude is going to prevail. And down that road lies the end of this experiment. That's just one more nail in the coffin. Daniel, thanks for checking in. Start screaming and start coughing. We have a break here, do we? Let's do a break so I can get a drink of water.
And where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 side forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain you're gonna fall.
Before the hour, I got an email here just a little while ago from Kevin in Smoky, Colorado Springs. Mike, I got disconnected while I was on hold. I was going to give you an update on this Colorado Springs fire. Today we reached an all-time high of 101 degrees. Unfortunately, the high temperatures combined with the wind drove the fire to the doorstep. of Colorado Springs. The smoke from this fire has blanketed the city, causing major traffic tie-ups and breathing problems for many of us. The Flying W Ranch, a Colorado Springs landmark for over 60 years, is now gone. Two subdivisions that are part of the city have been threatened, and reports are that we have lost many homes in the area. I live in a suburban area that's only about 5 miles from the Flying W Ranch and these subdivisions. And I can't imagine that the fire could threaten my area, but if the fire gets close enough, embers from the fire could possibly be a problem. The fire is turning into the worst-case scenario that no one thought could happen, but now is a real possibility. Those who say there is no global warming should come here for a few months and see how hot it is, how dry it is, and see a city under siege from this fire that could destroy major parts of the city that no one believed was possible. Still, though, I'm afraid that these deniers will continue, even as they themselves lose homes and property and lives that could have been prevented if we would just listen to those who say, save the environment. Kevin, in very smoky Colorado Springs. Yeah, watching the nightly news reports of these fires out west, this is it's just astonishing. It's just incredible. And this huge dome, I'm not going to give you a weather report, but this huge dome of high pressure and heat that is now settling in over about 70% of the country, right? I mean, isn't that what I saw on the news tonight? It's just this huge, I mean, it's been usual temperatures here in Atlanta, you know, 80s, upper 80s, then falls back, you know, into the low 70s at night. Just about where it should be this time of year, but we've been told now that on Friday here in Atlanta, which is still June, it's going to hit 102 air temperature. That's not heat index, that's air temperature, 102 degrees. Mike is in Burlington, Iowa, listening online. Hi, Mike.
Thing I wanted to point out was you talk about Bob Kincaid every now and then.
Right.
I think you should be using something that Bob used in relationship to
Mike. Is there any way you can give us some more volume on your phone or talk more into it?
Okay, I can talk into it better.
Okay.
Okay. The thing is that a guy named Scott, I think it was, he said, was the guy that gave him this idea. Scott was from the northwest area of what's now the land of pink slime, the state formerly known as Iowa.
Right.
And it's been one of the three states that feeds pink slime to grade school students. He looked at the Roberts Supreme Court, and he said, Roberts, Alito, Thomas, Scalia, rats.
Right.
Along with Kennedy. And I think what needs to be done with this relationship on the Montana case is we need to start talking about impeachment of some of these justices, because apparently there have been a group out there that wanted the Supreme Court to reject even hearing that appeal on Montana because it violated the 11th Amendment. And the Supreme Court changed the title of the case. So it was now the companies suing the Attorney General of Montana, not the state. They changed the very paperwork on the case. I think that is reason to start impeaching a justice, and I think we could start with Roberts.
Well, I would like to think that such a process was still available to Americans. But let me just point out to you, Mike, the obvious. If we could exist for 8 years under a full-blown, fully formed, absolutely definable war crimes administration. I mean, war criminals of the same ilk, not the same degree, but the same style as the Nazis and during World War II. The Nazis who invaded countries because they could. And the Bush administration that invaded countries because it could. And if we lived that way for 8 years, which we did, and when the time finally came when there was an opportunity during the remaining 2 years of that criminal administration to impeach the son of a bitch and all the people in the American high command who were responsible for these war crimes. And we did not. The Democratic Speaker of the U.S. House said that impeachment was off the table. There would be no impeachment. Now, this is the same government, essentially, different players, but the same government, essentially, who decided to impeach Bill Clinton because he lied about halfway sex with his girlfriend. I don't know what to tell you. Impeaching Supreme Court justices is literally, at this point in American history, utterly, absolutely, completely, totally impossible. It will not happen, Mike. It simply won't. And it doesn't make any difference. If Scalia stood up and shot one of his fellow justices in the head, they still would not begin impeachment proceedings against him. I got to leave it there, Mike. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. What we perceive to be the normal functionings of checks and checks and balances in this government of ours no longer exist. I just wish people could get that. They don't exist anymore. If they exist in form, they are not operative. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.